And I declare the meeting open. We always begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and we pay our respects to their elders past and present. I let everyone know that the meeting will be recorded, the sound of the meeting will be recorded, and that is if the technology works, it does sometimes, and that will be made available on the City of Marion website. I ask if any elected members have any declarations of interest which might relate to any items on the agenda. No one's raising any items at the moment. You can always come back later if there are. I ask for, if people are happy with the minutes, ask for a motion confirming the minutes. A move to Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Hull. All those in favour, raise their hands. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now there are a number of reports from the Mayor, Deputy Mayor, Councillor Telfer, the Chief Executive Officer, and Executive generally. So, before we get to that, a separate motion confirming the minutes of the special general meeting that we held. Moved Councillor Pryor to confirm those minutes. Seconded Councillor Byram. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried. Thank you. Now, give people a brief moment if they want to raise any questions arising from the reports that I've mentioned. Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, I noticed with pleasure that you met with quite a number of people, MPs of both all political persuasions, state, federal, even the member from Hindmarsh. Just as a consequence of all those meetings, can you advise Council whether there's any momentum building that we should be aware of with the Oaklands Crossing?
The Oaklands Crossing campaign launch, and I can say in relation to that there will be an item appearing in the next mayoral report about the rally that was held on Sunday. I would say very successful from the point of view of not only getting the community together and expressing their voice about the desire for change, but also Channel 9 covered the event very positively as far as the City of Marion's aspirations are concerned. And political candidates, in fact four political candidates for Boothby and also the state members for Mitchell and Elder spoke strongly and passionately in support of a solution for Oaklands Crossing. We just need to see all of those wonderful positive expressions translated into some funding promises at least. But nonetheless, it's been a month or two of positive encounters that I've had and others here have had with political leaders, MPs and candidates. There is, one might say, an outside chance of having one of the federal candidates promise some funding support toward the crossing solution. But I've made it clear to everyone, really, that if we don't get a complete fix from the federal government this time around, then council may well see fit to conduct a similar campaign in the lead-up to the state election scheduled for March 2018. It is ultimately a state government responsibility, but I can appreciate that they would want to be partners with the federal government as well. So, in answer to your question, yes, it's certainly been positive. We may not get everything we want in the next 6 weeks, but it has been an excellent trial run for the lead up to the state election, even if we don't get everything we want now. The other item, which doesn't appear in this report because it's retrospective, but I must make mention of the fact that on Saturday I stood alongside Matt Williams MP, member for Hindmarsh, when he announced that the Turnbull government would be contributing $4 million towards our Edwardstown Oval proposal. So with our pre-committed $4 million, we have $8 million on the table for a complete rebuild and overhaul of the entire precinct at Edwardstown. So I would like to take the opportunity actually to pay tribute to the staff who worked behind the scenes to get all of the paperwork ready. But I mean, it's Councillor Pfeiffer, other staff and councillors, so many people have contributed towards that result, but a fantastic result. Councillor Vlescu, question?
As it's matched by the opposition on the election of the Turnbull government or the Turnbull government and keeping the local member?
Normally, one would expect the only condition in that sense to be the re-election of the Turnbull government, because it was given as an election promise rather than out of a bureaucratic fund or whatever. Normally it's not dependent on the re-election of a particular MP. Having said that, I today wrote to Senator Birmingham, who was actually there to confirm the allocation of that funding, and I've written to him delicately and politely asking for confirmation of, you know, any strings attached. That will become clearer in due course. Councillor Hull?
Mayor, I think that's really ever so important that you do actually seal the deal, because we only recently read reports about Wangaratta Hospital where...
Councillor Hull, keep it to a question if there's a question.
Well, the question is, we had the situation in Wangaratta. We even had one locally with the Brighton Football Club at the last state election where promises were made. Were they core promises or less than core promises? I really think that this council can't just accept this on face value. We need to actually have this absolutely stitched up in writing from the appropriate minister, Mr. Mayor, and I think you're on the right track if that's what your intentions are.
Yes, that's the track we're on, so I can confirm that. All right, so after a motion to receive those reports, moved Councillor Westwood, second Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you, members. There are no deputations as such or petitions, but we now come to an important item on the agenda whereby members of the public have the permission to address us on the draft annual business plan and budget, I suppose. And we only have one taker, Mr. Ron Pannell. So would you like to come forward, please, Ron, and we'll instruct you on how to use the microphone. Now, normally these submissions are only 5 minutes. I understand that there are hundreds of pages to deal with, so we can you're free to take some liberty with that, but you'll also appreciate that we have several hours of business to deal with, and there's a long night ahead of us. So we welcome your submission and we'll be listening very closely. Thank you.
Yeah, seeing I'm limited with time, I'll have to speak quickly and forcefully. First of all, can you hear me? No one's got a problem? No? Okay, well, I'm ready to... I'm Ron Pannell. I live at Dover Gardens. I'm principally here because I disagree with what you're looking for rates for the forthcoming year. I'd say, firstly, though, I do appreciate that the council has reduced the rates over this year, and it's very complimentary to the way the council has been operating. I'll just say that before I start, and then I'll say I don't agree with the rates. 2.75%. There's a reduction from last year. We're running at an inflation of 1%. And I cannot see where a council who lives by donations and government grants and everything else in the place, I think you're achieving what you should be achieving to run that council forcibly and get us in the motion that all the things... The best thing I've just heard was the Edwardstown things, and I think that's great. But when we look at it, at 2.75 and 1% inflation, the people that are hurting out there are the likes of myself. A fellow that's 86 years of old age. I've lived in Marion for 63 years. I've retired 26 years. I've upgraded my standard of living so I can live comfortably. And in doing that, your 1% growth figure is coming from people like myself. I'm sure. If you examine some of this information, I sold a house, you get three times the rates. Two times the rates. I'll go again. I've moved in again in there. But all I'm really saying is it's very hard for the pensioners today. And what I'm really striving to get... I've got to cut it short. I believe that 7,500 pensioners that you've got in the Marion Council, you've got to split them up a bit in that who housing trusts look after, who they move to homes and move into homes, and they are not responsible for the rates. Because we're only talking rates here. We're not worried about the rest of it. If you come down to the rates, you're going to hit me for over $1,000 this year. And I've reached the stage in the last couple of years, I can't pay the bills. That's incorrect. I can pay the bills. But I'm having great pressure put on my few dollars reserve that we've got. And I'm sure this is the story with all the retired people here in the council. We are trying to exist in a stationary system. Do you realise, you just think about the water rates, the electricity, the gas, all these people that give us discounts, the telephone people give us discounts. Those discounts have never been changed for about 10 years. You know, they say, yeah, this you can get this every time you pay your bill and do this and that. But those bills are going up, 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 and we're going down, down, down. We're losing our money. So, well, I've got to cut this pretty short, but what I'm really asking for is, can the council do something for pensioners? And I don't mean a lot of the pensioners. I'm talking about... The older you get, the more problems you get. The bigger the medical bills are, and all these other things creep into it. Professionals looking at you all the time. Health bills. And we need to go to that extent that we need to make up ground. None of these other big... The top governments and the others are not going to do too much for us. They've set it, and that's it. We've had it for years, you know, and it's going along, and we're getting worse and worse. So what I'm saying is you're putting the rates up, and I'm going to get hurt in this thing. Now, there is a method of doing it. You've got capping in your rigmarole, and you're... think that you can make a certain capping for rates, but what's in there, I've read it, it doesn't suit what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a rates capping or subsidy, if you like, put in for the elderly people, and it's limited to, you've got to own the home, of course, and you've got to spend your time in that residence, and give us a little helping hand. Now, I know, look, you're not going to talk 7,500 things. You could put an age capping on it, if you like. You know, start with the people that are in serious trouble. And they are the people my age. We're running out of money. And I've had a great time in the Marion Council. And that's it. Righto, yeah, look, I've got to stop. But please, would you like to have a look at it and have a think about it and see what you can do for us? Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Pennell. And I know that what you've expressed is felt, thought by thousands in the community, and I can assure you that there are many around the table very keenly conscious of those issues. It's a debate that's had every year. We've had some success, as you acknowledged, in bringing down the rate rise just in the short time this new council's been on board. But we still have a long way to go. So I do appreciate what you're saying. Thank you. Sure. Well, we're not finished with that debate about the budget yet. We'll come back to it. So what happens now, members, is that just in case there are people flying back from overseas and getting a taxi from the airport to make it to the meeting to make a submission on the draft budget, we keep this issue alive for until 8 o'clock, in fact, in case there are any more submissions. Did you have a question, Councillor Voskou?
I did have a question for Mr. Scallon, a panel, sorry. We do have an option here. It's called postponement of rates for seniors. Now, I'm not saying that this is the solution, but as someone who's indicated a concern about the rates, especially for people on fixed income as they get older, I would like perhaps Mr. Pannell's feedback on that option, what he thinks the strengths and weaknesses of that option for seniors to postpone the rates. And it's on page 24 of the draft.
Mr. Pannell, we've got a question for you. So would you like to come back up and take the microphone again? Perhaps we could have, could one of the staff perhaps just explain the postponement of rates mechanism? And so, Mr. Pennell, what we're interested to know is your opinion on the adequacy of this measure that we have. And indeed, even if you had, whether or not you'd heard of it before, could... Oh, you have? Yes.
That I got.
Right.
And that capping system you've got there, I believe, is meant for elderly people living in their old home. You know, they've stayed in their old home, and they need some capping. And I don't know that you do too much of this capping, but probably you do. All I'm saying is, have a look at my case. I moved from an old house, sold it, got rid of it, downsized and bought a new house, and there I am. I'm still lumbered with the full rates.
So is there somebody who could... Mr. Mifsud is our general manager who covers the finance area, and he might just explain the option available, which may be relevant to your situation, Mr. Van. Just have a listen for a second.
Yeah, righto.
Mr. Mifsud.
Thank you. Through the Chair, as Councillor Valescu was alluding to, firstly, Mr. Pannell's quite right in terms of eligible pensioners being entitled to some rate capping. He's quite right on that. In addition, though, there is another option available for postponement of rates for seniors. and that was covered in the draft document as well, and effectively, subject to a number of criteria being met, those ratepayers, if they qualify, can actually defer their rates to such a point that effectively the rates would be deferred. Yes, their interest in line with the various federal interest rates that are supplied by the ABS would be applied and accrued against that, and then those rates wouldn't be payable until further down the track if the house was subsequently disposed, for example. So that is another option that's available to seniors who qualify.
Thanks, Mr. Mifsud. Were you aware of that option, Mr. Pennell?
Oh, I understand it could be done, but I don't think it's the answer to the question. They want the money to be able to pay, just deferring the rates. It's a good thought, but they want the money to operate daily. You know what I mean? It's got to go. I would suggest that you just change it slightly and make it to a age. Put it in for the age. The people that, like me, I could go in the hospital tomorrow and that's the end of me. But, you know...
Well, it's an option. Deputy Mayor Valescu is very thoughtful to suggest it, but what we might do is one of the staff will actually get in touch with you to spell out what needs to be done to take advantage of this. Although the argument you raise about the rates being too high remains a valid objection, the advantage of this particular scheme is that you don't actually pay the rates. You get it to spend on your milk and bread and your petrol up until the time the house is sold or you don't need the house anymore, basically. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's something that you might want to explore. But we'll get one of the staff to speak to you about it.
You might
get something out of it.
Yeah. If you do that for me and give me some answers, the public, look, you could make a great publicity out of it. Even if you only give them a few dollars, the public would respect you for it, you know, because we've got all the rest of the government doing nothing. They've given us this and said that's it, you know, and we're gone.
Thanks, Mr. Pennell. Great contribution, thank you. Come back next year. Okay. What I'm after then, members, is a motion to adjourn. Well, do we need to adjourn it or simply call it on at 8 o'clock? Yeah, with the leave of the meeting, if no one objects, we'll simply call the matter on at 8 o'clock just to make sure there's no other people coming forward. Councillor Valescu, did you? We actually don't need a motion as long as there's no objection. I'll simply call that item on, the appropriate motion, at 8 o'clock just to make sure we've really given everyone a chance, and in any case, statute requires us to do that. Very well, we're now looking at committee recommendations. We could move these two recommendations on block if people wish. It means you can still speak to either of them. Would someone like to move that the minutes of both meetings be confirmed? Moved Councillor Telfer. Seconded Councillor Byram. Any discussion? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, with the People and Culture Committee, I do wonder why the KPIs for our only employee has not been passed through a committee that would seem to be the bread and butter type of work that they would do. As a committee member, I have concerns about that, which I've attempted to raise within council and told not to by email. So I'm raising it tonight. I want to know why that committee has been circumvented and not allowed to actually discuss that, particularly when we're paying an independent member $1,000 a meeting, and we don't even use that committee to do one of the core functions of that committee.
Yes, that's a good question, and I note your email about the topic. It's a good question to raise, but I hope that all members actually will recognise the limitations of email debate Some matters, because of history or issues, are too complex or unwieldy to deal with in email traffic. And it's better to have a conversation about it. So we've left it to tonight. And yeah, sure. Yep. And as I say, it's a good question. So Councillors Telfer has been intimately involved with the issue. I might ask, would it be appropriate to ask Ms Roberts, the HR manager, to come forward and offer advice on the matter? I think while she's coming forward, what I can say is that we've been moving towards a timetable for, a performance assessment of the Chief Executive Officer, and the intention going back from 6 months ago was for that to run to November to November. And we still have that in the proposed draft timeline. There has been information from staff that it would be much more effective and with use of accurate information if the financial data upon which performance is assessed ran from 1st of July to 30th of June. In other words, getting a full financial year's data, and that data is audited between July and November. So when this was considered closely, it was seen that to set the Chief Executive Officer's KPIs for next year, in other words, November to November 2016 to 17, it would actually be necessary to use the financial year, 16-17, and therefore, before that year commenced, preferably, one would have KPIs in place. So it has crept up on us, so to speak, the desirability of getting Chief Executive Officer KPIs in place sooner rather than later. Your question remains why that wasn't discussed at the last People and Culture Committee meeting. I'll just ask Ms Roberts if she can advise further, and then by way of answering the question, I'll also call on Councillor Telfer.
So, thank you, through the Chair. Yes, I guess the report that's on the agenda for later on this evening talks about the process, as Mayor Hannah has discussed, to review the performance of the CEO. So because that hasn't yet been moved through council, it wasn't, I guess, we weren't at a point where the KPIs were ready to certainly be discussed at the People and Culture Committee in May, and given that the next one is in July, they really have to be in place before that. So I guess the opportunity to have you all involved, all the elected members involved, the first opportunity was at the council meeting this evening, which they'll be discussed at the confidential report later on this evening.
Tonight at the in the agenda, we look at the interim KPIs. This is the first time we've seen that report in that structure. So it's only just come last Thursday to us and to Council. It couldn't have been done beforehand. We were working in the last agenda on the KPI structure. We retabled and restructured. We set up structures at the last meeting. We weren't in a position, we may be next May 2017 in a position to do that. Tonight the KPIs come forward, and we had worthwhile response from Councillor Hull and from Councillor Pfeiffer about the KPIs, and I have an alternate motion, and that is that a group of organisational KPIs that are aligned to the CEO's KPIs actually go to the Finance and Audit Committee as suggested, and then come to Council on the 14th of June. And if Council so wishes tonight in the motion, they can slow this down and send it to the People and Culture Committee on the 5th of July, but that means on the 26th of July, Council would ratify in confidence the CEO's KPIs. That means a month's gone. So he starts behind the eight ball because he's got 11 months, not 12 months, to sort out his objectives and move towards accomplishing them. So, yes, it's not what we would have liked. I believe there's a solution in that if it is ratified, the KPIs as proposed draft KPIs are looked at tonight, we can then go forward and send them to the independent member tomorrow. He has offered to work in between and receive material in between. He could, along with the other members of the committee, ratify that or work towards getting it in a timely way for this instance.
Councillor Hogg, back to you for question or comment.
Well, I personally think that it could have actually been done. The welcome comment from me did not unravel as sweetly as described. I was pretty much told no more emails, even though I'd only sent two. They were all respectful emails, they were all questions, probing questions, I might add. So it's not as hunky-dory as one might seem. The other thing is, too, linking it now to KPIs, which will become confidential, means that it's sort of disturbing that when we do reach a point where we have KPIs, giving our only employee the direction of, on behalf of our citizens, then we can't talk about it. I'd like to know more about the consequences of that, because I'm not comfortable with that process. I think the KPIs for our CEO should be public and allow us as elected members to be able to freely discuss it amongst our community. So I'd like your views on that, Mr. Mayor, seeing that you have, up until at least now, been a crusader for openness.
Well, certainly the Mayor's viewpoint isn't the be-all and end-all, but I can offer some considerations. One is that this council does have a commitment to openness more than Marion Council ever has in living memory. But none of the council employees have their KPIs and performance done in public. It doesn't happen for News Corp. It doesn't happen for BHP or anyone else. So the question is whether that process, which includes the description of the KPIs, the results and the assessment in light of the results, the question is whether that should remain confidential or not. So the proposition that's being put to Council is that it remain confidential, but a decision's yet to be made. And if you have that view, you're welcome to test it when we come to that item. The other thing I would say about that is that we are looking to, in discussions, and again this is not yet decided, but we're looking to align the Chief Executive Officer KPIs with the organisational KPIs. Now they need to be decided as part of this business plan and budget process. The organisational KPIs will be public, the data that we use to assess those KPIs will be public, and the judgment of elected members and the community is obviously part of open and free debate. So in terms of assessing the organisation and how we're going according to the KPIs that we as elected members think are most important, that's all open. No one is suggesting it should be otherwise. But the principle that employees' assessment, whether it be the trench digger or the office worker or the chief executive, should be confidential, that is seen in a different light. So I hope that those considerations help.
I'm talking about KPIs. I'm not talking about performance. I agree with you that performance issues should be dealt with as we would expect it to be done in our own employment. The other thing I'd like to say is, just in case there's any misinterpretation of where I'm coming from with this line of questioning, is we have a very fine CEO at the moment, Mr. Mayor.
Well, let's get back to the motion before us. It's actually just to confirm the committee minutes. I think that was an important point to clarify, so I do welcome the question, and if it could have been easily answered with a yes or no or a sentence, it would have been fine to just resolve it by email, but I think it was a bit more complex than that. So we do need to get on with just resolving this motion, but when we get to the substantive question of KPIs, there'll be further debate. Councillor Gard?
Cultural Centre Plaza minute. I just feel a little uncomfortable with the way it has been expressed in relation to the motion that I put that was lost. It's not quite a reflection of what I was putting.
Sorry, Councillor Gard, can you give us a page number?
Yes, that's... I thought I could.
Are you talking about one of the committee reports?
Of and it's down at 8:46 p.m.
So you're talking about the minutes of the council meeting?
Correct. Well, I think I am, yes.
So that is an item that we've raised and voted on and dispatched already this evening. So after this item is finished, I'll permit you to make a brief personal explanation with the leave of the meeting, and you can clarify your position. I think that's probably the best way forward now that the matter's been dealt with. So can we just deal with these minutes of the two committees, the People and Culture Committee and the Infrastructure Committee. We've had some debate. Shall I put the motion? All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Now, Councillor Gard, if you have a brief personal explanation to give, then please go ahead. But, look, 1 minute should be plenty. Thanks.
It will be plenty. Thank you, Your Worship. I'm sorry I missed that. I somehow missed the fact that we had passed that passed the minutes as written. My intention in that motion was, and I'll just re-express it. I've written it out here as I would have put it, just for the benefit of all. So instead of saying that the item be adjourned to the 26th of July meeting to enable market research for the facility signage and access, what I actually believe I said was that it be adjourned to enable the conduct of market research prior to setting the means by which the overall facility should be marketed, before then setting course with how it is presented externally, including its signage. I distinctly remember using the words, we should not be putting the cart before the horse. And that was the main context of that motion.
Okay, I think we have it. So if words can be, with leave of the meeting, if those words can be provided to preferably sooner rather than later, then they can be incorporated in tonight's minutes. And what we can do is note that with a reference to the item in the minutes, we can say Councillor Gard gave a personal explanation and he intended such and such. I don't think anyone would have a problem with that. Then we can move on.
Thank you, Worship.
We now turn to a number of reports. Now, it's always tricky to embark on this process. You will see, councillors, on the agenda from page 3 to top of page 4, there are numerous items, 8 items, which I'm suggesting be moved en bloc. But members may wish one or more of them to be excluded from that process. The en bloc voting process is purely to save time. It does mean that everyone still gets 3 minutes and they can cover any one or more of the topics. But if you want to exclude an item, you can. Okay. So I'll just read them out. Reconciliation Action Plan, and remember that's a progress report, essentially. Including the finance. Okay. So I make that 10 items. There are the two finance reports, one for March, one for April. There's the Reconciliation Action Plan report, which is just a progress report, not the substantial one. Nominations sought for the State Bushfire Coordinating Committee, that's putting forward Councillor Hull. The Fraud and Corruption Management Policy, which obviously we need and seems to be in order. The Review of Confidential Orders, I can tell members that I've had a look at all of those, and you will note that some are released, some are released with some redaction, and some are not to be released and reviewed in December, but I don't see anything exceptional there. The third quarter corporate performance review is essentially a financial organisational report. The third quarter budget review is similar. The community grants round gives the successful recipients and amounts of the community grants round we've just had. The organisational culture and values item refers to the adoption of some key values for the organisation. Does anyone want to pull any of those out separately? Councillor Hull? Sure. Okay, let's pull that out. Oh, well, we'll have to pull that out separately then. They should be excluded from the report. And we will need to pull out the, having just said what I've said, there are a couple of those confidential orders which come up later in the evening. So we will therefore need to pull that out for separate treatment. Any others? All right. Councillor Byron? That's right. I'll take some liberty because it's still a means of saving time. So does anyone have any questions about any of those items that we're going to move on block? Councillor Byron? Yes.
Page 179. At the top of that page, sorry, I've just got to get to it myself. I just had a question there on the expenditure there, that it says that the following expenditure is identified from annual savings. I just had a query about the Reserve Street Reserve Dog Park, because it's got the $126,000 there. I thought $100,000 of that was grant money and wasn't out of savings. We were only putting the difference.
Mr. Barnwell, can you help?
Sure, through the chair. I'm pretty sure the 126 was an, I think the 100K plus the 126 was the required funding for that project.
Okay, thank you.
The extra, the add-on.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. All right, would someone like to move those eight items on? Sorry, question? Councillor Hull.
Are we keeping something up our sleeve? Is there another stage of the campaign to go? Or?
Well, I've been told all the money's spent. Perhaps Mr. Clark should be answering that one.
It's 84. Says 84.
So back to Mr. Who's going to answer it?
Yeah,
Mr. Barnwell.
Yeah, sure. I will clarify that. Well, the 84 is in there, but it's purely for notation purposes. But I will clarify that it should be 46, not 84. It doesn't impact on the actual budget figures and the result on the third budget review. It's really pulling the position back to the underlying funding position.
It does.
Sorry, order. Mr. Barnwell, I didn't actually understand the answer. I mean, if we allocated 40-something thousand, how can there be more there?
Is that, Yeah, I need to clarify, as you clarify that point, so I'm not 100% sure.
Right. Is there any awkwardness in deferring that item, the third quarter budget review, to the next meeting?
It doesn't impact on the actual it doesn't impact on the funding result. The actual narrative here is in relation to
Mr. Barnwell, I'll just cut you off because it may not impact on the total result, but if there's an error in the report, then I would suggest we shouldn't deal with it tonight unless there's a compelling reason to get it done tonight. Councillor Valescu, you have a question?
Whether this amount was what was originally put in and it hasn't been updated since we reduced the cost in this part of the report?
Nonetheless, Mr. Barnwell, do you think there might be an inaccuracy?
If it looks like there should be 46 there instead of 82, the report is showing an inaccuracy, but which we'll have to investigate and come back to in the next meeting.
So we might pull that one out then and leave it till next time. Okay, now we're down to seven. It's a bit like that Agatha Christie play, isn't it? The 10 little budget items, and we're back down to seven items which you may wish to move en bloc. Councillor Crossland, so moved. Councillor Hutchinson seconded. Any opposition? Very well, I'll put those items. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Going back to them in order then, the Reconciliation Action Plan on page 107 of your agenda. Councillor Hull, did you want to start with a question, or are you going to move, or up to you?
Mr. Mayor, all I want to do is add an item to it. Now, this came about from social media contact with one of the Aboriginal people in our community, next councillor of this place, ex-councillor Joel Bayliss, who has put to me that with the Aboriginal Reconciliation Week that is very close, and coupled with the fact that he knew the rap was going through the council, that he urged me by correspondence to move our staff investigate getting people from the recognised team to discuss with us, the Mayor and the elected members, the benefits of supporting the recognised campaign, being the recognition of Aboriginal people in the Constitution. So that's the only addition that I would like to make, that the Council Administration explore the possibility of the recognised team making contact with us to talk to us about joining...
Well, Councillor Hull, I would suggest that most members of council might want more information.
Well, that's why we'd have somebody come along to talk to us.
Well, we don't need a council resolution to do that. That can be arranged through the forum process.
Well, I'm only carrying out the desire of one of our citizens who happens to be an Aboriginal person.
I appreciate that. So, Councillor Hull, do you want to move...
I can show you this if you like.
Do you want to move as printed, or do you want to move with an amendment, you know, in an amended form? How do you want to proceed?
No, there's no amendment. This is my motion.
Councillor Hull, are you moving a motion, or shall I go to someone else?
The motion is, the point three, that council invite a member of the recognised team to brief council on the possibility of joining the recognised campaign.
Oh, I see. Okay. Does the scribe have that? Can you just...
Yeah, I'll read it out again. That the council invite a member of the recognised team to brief council about the possibility of the City of Marion joining the recognised campaign for recognition of Aboriginal people in the Constitution.
Any comment from Mr. Lyons?
Uh, Through the chair, Councillor, I don't fully appreciate the implications of the advice that this person would give us. It doesn't appear to do any harm. It would probably just defer the passing of the RAP for perhaps 1 month. At the moment, it's going to the June meeting. It would perhaps go to the July.
Well, the question is the motion seconded? Councillor Crossland, you've seconded the motion.
May I ask a question?
Back to Councillor Hull, you may speak in support of the motion, and you can ask a question if you wish.
Yeah, I'll start with a question. I would have thought that the RAP was a document that's in flux. It's actually a document that we can add to, embellish, improve any time we want. I'm not sure why the RAP would be held up through the fact that we want to acknowledge something during the process of Reconciliation Week. And that could be picked
order.
Up in the RAP.
Councillor Hull, the reason for a concern about delay is that the motion calls upon one of the recognised, and that's capital R without the D on the end, one of the recognised team to address council. That can't necessarily be done before 28th of June. And the other part of your motion says that there'll be a report with the draft action plan brought back on 28th of June. So those two things may be inconsistent. That was Mr. Lyne's concern.
Well, it's not my intention to hold up the RAP. I just want to actually... It could possibly be added to the RAP and at any time. The RAP should be a document that's actually constantly...
Well, sorry, you've had your question. That's been answered. So let's consider now that you're entering into debate on the motion. Thank you.
Okay. Well, members, this is a... It's rare that we actually have contact from Aboriginal individuals in our community, and this is one of the rare times. Thank you. And it happened through a Facebook exchange about the Recognise campaign, which I've been following for quite a while. And the request was made, and I'm happy to carry it out. I really think that point three is autonomous to the other two points. It is actually something that we've actually picked up on with the Reconciliation Week, and also as a future attachment to the RAP. And that's where I'm coming from, Mr. Mayor.
And that was my initial procedural point. I was concerned that what you were proposing was actually something which is a separate issue. But I'm still not sure whether you're linking the two or not. Because the intention was, and still is in your paragraph two, that the draft plan be brought back for decision on 28th of June. So if you're saying that it's this the... discussion with someone from the recognised team can happen subsequently, well, then it wouldn't necessarily have an impact on the plan, which is adopted for 3 years. Just letting you know, but please continue with your contribution.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I guess the other question is, would it hurt to wait another month? We've deferred this particular RAP for a while now. If it means that we can actually make this RAP even better by waiting a month to hear from another section of our community, Aboriginal section of our community, and also from a national group that is representing many Aboriginal people in terms of getting them recognised in the Constitution, well, I'd say go for it. I don't personally believe it should hold up the affairs, but if it does, a month is of no concern, or little concern to me. And I think that, once again, Marion can actually be seen as being advocates for all people in our community, not just... We fly that flag out there, Mr. Mayor, and that's great. But sometimes we have to walk the talk as well. And this little bit to this motion is walking the talk. It is a matter that may well be a referendum before the nation very soon. I would prefer this referendum to the referendum on recognition of local government by leaps and bounds. You know, this is more important to me than recognising local government in the Constitution. So I implore the Council to consider this. It is a timely pickup in terms of what we're doing with the RAP and also acknowledging Reconciliation Week, which is almost here.
Does the seconder wish to speak?
Advice, and if they feel that on the 28th that the RAP can stand alone and we can do this separately, then we'll follow their advice on that. But I'm not too worried if the RAP is held up by it, but I do believe it could be standalone.
Anyone speaking against the motion? If we're all in agreement, then I can simply ask for it to go to the vote. And just before I do, I just want to apologise to Councillor Vlescu, who wanted to speak, but I've had feedback from members that they want me to be stricter on time limits and the rule that there should be alternating to and for and against. And if everyone's for, then there's no point everyone giving a three-minute speech. So sorry about that, Councillor Vlescu. I know your heart's in the right place on this one. All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against? It's carried by a majority. Thank you. Now we turn to the third quarter corporate the next item that comes up is the review of confidential orders, right? I'm going through it, in the order of the items there. That comes before that, right? So the next item on the agenda is the review of confidential orders, and I note there that two of the confidential reports need to be pulled out. So, because they'll be considered later in the evening, and I refer to the two confidential reports relating to the Marion Leisure and Fitness Centre. So the motion that someone might like to move is... notes the report and it should be perhaps I'm just asking Ms. McKenzie, our governance manager, about the efficacy of council noting the report. I mean, there are actually actions in respect of a number of individual items, release or partial release and so on. So is it adequate to have a motion that simply notes the report? We have a bit of a specialist officer on this item, Ms. Thwaites, so she's coming forward to answer that question. So the intention of staff is that we deal with each item individually. Is it?
You can move them en bloc as printed in the reports. However, report GC240516, R13 and R14 relating to the Marion Fitness and Leisure Centre had alternative motions as to what was printed in the report, so you may like to do those separately.
I see. They do have to be dealt with at this meeting, but they could be dealt with later as part of the confidential item, couldn't they? In other words, we don't actually need to include them in the motion now? It just means that we have to deal with each one of those confidential items before the end of this meeting. That's because of the previous resolution. So, members, I'm not sure if you're quite following this discussion at the head table, We've got this whole series of confidential items that were put off from last December because there was some doubt about whether they should have confidentiality retained or not. There has indeed been a review and some progress. It is now recommended that some items be released, some be released in part, and some not released. If they're not released, they'll be reviewed in December. There are two items which stand out from the crowd because they relate to the Marion Leisure and Fitness Centre. We are certainly intending to deal with the Marion Leisure and Fitness Centre later this evening. So it makes sense to just take those two items out altogether and simply, if we're happy with the recommendations, adopt them in respect of each other item. So that's the motion that I'm suggesting. Now, what I'm after from staff is some help with the wording to adopt en bloc most of those items. Now, the original wording of noting the report can actually remain. I mean, there's no need for exceptions, is there?
The noting of the report is purely the overview report.
That's right.
It's not the individual.
So there was no need to amend with those words, with the exception, because we're... I'm just taking advice from Ms. McKenzie. Oh, okay. Thanks for telling me. Yep. So, making it up as we go. What staff have done is taken out those two references to those two confidentiality orders. So I've just learned that. So that the motion as printed, noting the report with the exception of two items, that can be moved. I mean, it seems to be an inconsequential motion. So why wouldn't we just put that as a number one and then put the en bloc motion as number two? Can I ask... So I thought we were just keeping that in now. Where it says moved councillor, that's where there should be a two before that. And you're going to put the exception after that? Sure, happy with that. Question from Councillor Hull while we're getting the words right.
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to ask a question that I've been asking in this place for many years, not just this council. Every time this comes up, this process comes up, I ask the question, when will this council release the Craven report that involves the richest man in this state, Con Macris? When will this council release that report relating to the dealings between the council and Mr. Macris?
Councillor Hull,
and the Craven report?
I can cut you off. And the answer has been given to you, I think, a number of times, even on this council.
Because he doesn't want it to be released. Well, that's
no,
not good
there's
enough.
Actually an active commercial interest of the council at stake. That
can you explain what that is, Mr. Mayor?
Not openly, no.
No, well,
because council's commercial interest would be jeopardised by release of the report.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
You don't get it, but most people do.
I can't see where the council's aligned in any way with what's happening down there now.
Actually, we have a proprietary interest down there, so...
We have a road, but...
No, I'm not talking about the road. You've missed something, but I'm not going to go into confidential matters.
Particularly the Craven report.
No. It's been
dealt with. So you and the previous mayor have...
Order.
Similar
lines. Order. While that's still being fixed up, I would like to draw members' attention to a couple of reports in there. There's a service review going on in relation to the Living Ghana Cultural Centre. I would suggest it is your responsibility, each one of you, to read the confidential reports in relation to the Levangana Cultural Centre before we debate any service review resolutions in relation to that centre. I'm not going to say any more about it, but if you read those reports, you might see if there's anything relevant. Right, so what we're proposing to do with the motion that's pretty well now printed is to take out the two confidentiality orders relating to the Marion Leisure and Fitness Centre, because we're going to make a separate decision about those when we deal with the Marion Leisure and Fitness item later in the agenda. The other items, if you're happy with the recommendations, we can deal with. The items are moved en bloc as printed in the reports. Okay, I guess that'll do. Really what we're saying as recommended in the reports, isn't it? As printed in the reports? Okay. Well, people know what it means anyway. Councillor Telfer? So moved. Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood? Any debate? Councillor Holt?
The lack of release of the Craven report, which has got nothing to do with the shopping centre, by the way, Mr Mayor. We're talking about across the other side of the Lonsdale Highway. I would like to see that released. We should not have these arrangements where we have dealings with developers and hold them away for 10, 15 years. It must be approaching that now. It must be around about that time. Why would we be holding that information away from the public gaze for 10 to 15 years when the road has been through, well traversed, because the developer doesn't want it released, we just kowtow to that. And it's not really good governance.
Very well. Councillor Valescu.
I agree that we should not be holding out anything that that needn't be kept confidential. But I do remind members that there are things that we do need to keep confidential, either due to certain commercial situations, which means that we could be taken to court. Our residents could face a significant reputational, a council can face a reputational risk in not dealing with things in a professional manner, and that in turn would be an expense and a detriment to our members. So I think we really need to be aware of that. And I think in future, if there are issues that people are not sure of and there is some confidentiality, that perhaps sessions are arranged with those in governance or senior managers to talk those through. Because when we bring them up and it's not clear, we're doing ourselves a disservice, because it could be a relevant issue, but if it's not clear, we haven't done the research and the discussion beforehand, it clouds it, and there's concern on my behalf that we might do the wrong thing and jeopardise things for residents. So I would urge that any members, if they do have any concerns about these, that they talk to staff, they talk to management, and I believe Mayor Hannah has done that and has on some of these issues that perhaps may not have been released if some of these discussions had not taken place.
And I can add that I've had it confirmed from staff that the report about which Councillor Hull complains is not even in the list for tonight. So that contribution was totally irrelevant to the matter before the council and was wasting our time. That report's up for... In fact, Councillor Hull was part of a resolution that deferred consideration of that item to December this year. So I would welcome his contribution at that time. But it was irrelevant this evening. Order. I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Thank you.